Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Forest, a safe place where we have the freedom to think about life without judgment. We take a look at society, we examine it, and we allow for the possibility of something new, something different. And now, here's your host, Alan Ritter.
Welcome, everybody, to this final show of 2017, the final show of what's been my first year doing this and being a host and being, I guess, a guest. And here it is, pardon me, New Year's Eve, just after 9 p.m. on the east coast of the North American continent. And I'd first like to give my thanks to Terry Power and Robin McKean and wish them recovery and best wishes in the new year to come. And to reach out to everyone who's listening and everyone who will be listening to say the goals are far away. The goals that you envision are far away, and the goals that you envision are large. But the steps to get to them are at your feet. And the steps to get to them are simple, and the steps to get to them are basic. And for several years before being offered this opportunity, I had been writing on LinkedIn, and several years before that, I had I had a large change in how I think and what I'm willing to accept and what I want to know. And I had reached a certain number of people by the number of reads on my LinkedIn channel. And I was just sort of asking, you know, internally asking, Is there a way to communicate this, or can this be communicated to a broader audience? And is that a step that is in my future? And then via LinkedIn, Terry called me, and after some discussion, he offered me this radio program or this slot to say what I wanted to say, and to invite other people to be on my program with me. And for the greater percentage of this year, 2017, I was on here as a solo speaker, and toward the July and August time frame, I took the recommendation of one of the members of my produce club, Valerie Matthews or Valerie Logan, and I did something that I never thought I would do, but basically she said, "Hey, you can get paid for this," and I needed money. And I began acting. I began, it's basically being part of a crowd or being part of the background of a scene in television and film, in documentaries. And since I first started that, first getting a membership on casting networks, which basically sends you emails saying, here's the work that's available in New York City, in Philadelphia, in Delaware, in your area. I've actually built up a small fledgling resume so that I'm not, the newbie tag hasn't rubbed off of me, but I'm not fresh into the business anymore. And I'm not, it doesn't terrify me, and I've actually become accustomed to going to New York City, which is something I never thought I'd be accustomed to. And I actually don't see New York City as being, I see New York City as having a flavor to it and having a way about it that's interesting and not completely terrible, which is how I used to interpret New York City, because there's just no other place that has that many people that I've seen. I'm sure there are other places around the world, but that's the first place that I've actually seen that many people constantly, almost bordering on 24 hours a day, having people. And Philadelphia just isn't like that. Philadelphia basically goes to bed at 7 or 8 o'clock, and there's hardly anyone on even the busiest streets, whereas New York is up till way past midnight, and there's just people, especially in Manhattan. So the other thing that I have always had a problem with and that I've consciously tried to overcome is socializing with people and knowing that I need to get out there and talk to people. And I set myself up to be in contact with people with my produce club, and then I further set myself up to be in contact with even more people with this radio show, and then by being in acting. And one of the people that I met through acting is now my quote-unquote producer slash co-host slash guest finder, David Whitman. And David Whitman is on or is listening most weeks, and has been an amazing connector of me to opportunities to meet people and to grow. And so it's all a process and it takes time, but during this year I hope that I've made some strides toward my goals. And in general, my goals have stayed the same. I don't agree with the present ecosystem management intention. I would like to see it going in a fertility direction instead of an anti-fertility direction. It's so interesting that within the last week, I've actually picked up a copy of Weston A. Price's Nutrition and Physical Degeneration, and I'm reading that now, and it just even more firmly informs me, the information in that book informs me that all of the things that we're quote-unquote taught as being environmental or as being hereditary, you're being prone to this disease or that disease is hereditary. Where what it is not hereditary, it's what you're eating and the lack of nutrition and the processed nature of what you're eating. And I strongly recommend reading at least the first 50 pages of Weston A. Price's Nutrition and Physical Degeneration to see that you probably want to read the rest of it. And it's a 450-page book, and it's going to take you some time, but I think it's well worth it. It's going to change your perspective on Weston A. Price is a dentist, and that's, he's coming from a dental perspective, and he's looking at cavities. Cavities are a harbinger of immune strength. And so he's looking at dental arch, which is the arch of your jaw that contains your teeth. And it's seen from the front of you as the breadth of your face, how wide your face is. So if your face is wider, your jaw is wider. And it's interesting that you see broader faces in native populations. And those broader faces are not indicative of another race. They're indicative of proper nutrition, which is just so interesting to me that you're told one story and then you actually get some information that completely changes the picture of how you interpret your life. And so this book has been nagging me for years. I didn't really, I sort of have heard stories, but once you get into it and actually read it or read part of it, and I've got a long way to go. I'm about 65 pages into, a little bit less than a sixth of the way into this book. So nutrition and changing your nutrition is something that each and every one of us can do. We can have a little garden, which is probably the most powerful place to get your nutrition, or is the most powerful place to get your nutrition, because it's right there and because it doesn't have the time lag that that goods delivered from California or goods delivered from many miles have. And then to choose who you choose the farm that makes your that grows your plants, and to look at the farm from a perspective of, even if it's organic, does it still spray? Many organic farms do use neurotoxic, naturally sourced compounds to do the same job that conventional farms do with Roundup and other chemicals. So changing your nutrition is incredibly powerful, and choosing a farm that's local to you that maybe doesn't spray or maybe is natural process. And in the southeastern Pennsylvania, southern New Jersey area, the Muth Family Farm, M-U-T-H, is a natural process farm. In the Santa Rosa, Petaluma area of California, the Green String Farm, run by Bob Kennard, run under Bob Kennard, is the natural process farm. And I'm not saying that there aren't others, but those are some well-known examples of natural process farming. The magazine that covers natural process farming is called Acres USA. And so there are very small but incredibly powerful steps that each of us can take to the goals that we want. And they are moving away from processed food, absolutely, and voting for the nutritive value of the whole plant food that you get by saying, I'm going to grow it first. That's my highest priority. I'm going to know the farmer and do the best I can to get the most naturally processed, most with the farmer who has the best relationship and the most fertile soil, so that my crop, the produce that I'm putting into my body, has the most nutrition. And it's such a powerful tradition in the older isolated area examples that Weston A. Price talks about, in the Gaelic isolated folks, in the Swiss isolated folks, which are the only two examples I've gotten to. Young folks who are about to be married, even if they have eaten highly nutritious foods all their life, even if their face is wide, they have room for all their teeth in their mouth, they've never had a cavity, and nobody else in the village has ever had a cavity as well. The village doesn't have a doctor or a dentist. They have never needed one. Even in such a case, they have a tradition of special feeding for 6 months before they're going to be married, going to, quote-unquote, probably try to have a child, so that they're at the seed that is generated for that child is given the most auspicious capability to be the best that it can be. This is something that these older traditional cultures recognize. It's, you know, thousands of years of tradition recognizes this as being incredibly important. It's something that that I just found out about in reading this book, but it's just another lost piece of, oh, this is the way it used to be done, but we just didn't realize how important this was. Here we are. We're where we are right now. Where we are right now is exactly where we're supposed to be. We're not going to change the ecosystem by the end of this year. But what we can do is we can make focused, prioritized choices for ourselves. We can say, I have the strong belief that green leafy vegetables are going to deliver green leafy unprocessed, as nutritious as possible greens are going to deliver to me something that I really want in my life, something that's an investment, and I'm willing to forego these other things. I'm willing to forego, I'm willing to forego this night at the restaurant. I'm willing to forego going to an entertainment of some type. I'm willing to forego this vacation trip because, or something like that. So because that choice in your mind has the highest priority, we don't exactly know what the outcome is. But by understanding that it's going to have an impact on our ability to manifest our body and our ability to see into the future and our ability to connect with other people. So by changing your nutrition, you change the path that you're on, you change the people that are coming to you, and the people who maybe now are eating that more nutritionally abundant diet, that were sort of a little bit out of sync with your path, maybe become more and more in sync with your path, and you're going to meet them because you're doing things, more things, and that are common to their practice. So their orbit and your orbit becomes similar. I'd like to throw it out there that this, of course, is a call-in live program, and the guest call-in line is 646-564-9714. And it's also New Year's Eve. It will be the new year in a little bit more than 2.5 hours. So there's many reasons to celebrate, and I'm just having a little retrospective and then forward spective, or I don't really do forward. I just do, hey, here's what I'm planning to do next. Because I don't really know what the path forward is. Whatever comes is what I need, so I'm extremely happy with what comes. And I'd like to overcome my discomfort with some of the things that might come that I would rather not see, because if they come, then I should see them. And I should welcome them because they're here to teach me and they're here to form what comes next. So who's to say that the improving one's nutrition doesn't bring quote-unquote hard times, but it brings the ability of yourself to weather those hard times. So the other thing that I would like to reflect on is several changes in my personal, how I go about things, my standard operational procedure. And one of them is asking for help. And sort of asking for help, maybe shared with making friends and not being afraid to accept help from other people. Because when other people are offering you help, they are indicating to you that they'd like to be involved with you a little bit more. And from the example of Valerie, she's helped me so much. And I like to think that I've helped her. But she's taught me so many other ways to make money and so many other ways to make money slash meet people just do all of these things at one time. I mean, you go when you act, you walk into a room full of people that you haven't met before. And directly from Valerie's mouth, the hobby slash craft slash world of acting is such an interesting, healthy place to go. Now, overall, it might be serving an intention, and the intention is of those in control, but in general, it's literally a place that you can go and reinvent yourself, because you go there and nobody knows who you are. Nobody knows, you know, your quote-unquote backstory, so just go be somebody else. Go be somebody that you're interested in being. Go portray a character within a character. Don't drag your baggage up there and say, well, gosh, here's who I am. Now, it also allows you to meet just a really diverse crew of individuals coming from every walk of life, from people who are doing it as a hobby, people who are professionals who take a day off every once in a while to go up and be in a program that they would like to be in, so that they can talk to their friends and say, hey, I was in this program. Or just so they can have that broadening experience, because they know that sitting at a desk 9 to 5 for the next 20 years isn't going to give them the breadth of experience or the depth of experience that they would like to have. And maybe they've been in that that office experience for 5 years or 10 years, and they just decided, hey, I can make a lot more money doing the desk thing, but I'm not happy. It's not who I am. So I actually think that it is a good time for the break. And there's a song that I haven't played in a long time. And it's Dar of the Bard, Green and Gray. And I'll catch everybody on the other side of the break. See you in a few.
The 1st of May, a man in black came walking into a wooden glade, following the sounds of pipes on this beautiful spring day, high from the music that they made. But what beheld him within that place? A look of recognition fell across his face. Oh Lucifer, oh Lucifer, why do you appear? the fires of hell. You fell from heaven, and you fell from grace. You want dominion over this place. The piper smiled to the priest, he said, I was lord of animals, the wild hunt I led. Until your God came here, and with his jealous hand, it was he who wanted dominion over this land. For I'm no devil, I'm father to the land. I have been here since the earth began. Neither black nor said if evil is where it lies in the hearts of man. But you lead us, oh you tempt us, to rape, to steal, to kill. The piper said, whatever happened to free will? Then the grove lay empty, the priest told no one. The blossom lay upon the thorn, and the piper's tune was done. And in the sunlit forest, the animals they bowed, as the piper laid his goddess down. For I'm no devil, I'm father to the land. I have been here since the earth began. Neither black nor white. Hear what I say. I'm green and gray. I'm green and gray. I'm green and gray. I'm green and gray.
Tune in to International Pagan Radio. You can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha Dea, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
Welcome back to an emerging forest on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We hope everyone was able to stretch their legs and get a drink. And now, back to Alan.
Well, welcome back, everybody. And as well as one change being more social and asking for help and accepting help, and growing, literally being conscious about accepting contacts with other people and looking to say, I'd like to grow a friendship with that person, and going out of your way to say, how am I going to do that? And seeing the different characters in your life and saying, I need more diversity of characters that I'm doing business with, and growing branches and growing communication with each one of the branches. Besides that, the other thing that I had done for a long time as far as exercise, because I think exercise is really an important part of life, is I would always go to the gym or go do whatever I was doing, and I would try to do too much. Or I would achieve a certain level of performance and then go for a higher level of performance, and continually go to a higher level of performance and not basically say, okay, I want to stay at a steady state or a steady performance output, but for a longer period of time. So in my experience, I would get to a higher and higher level of experience of ability, and then I would run into a wall of what I could achieve, or I wouldn't have trained long enough at a particular level, and the outcome would be that I would get ill, and I would be ill for 3 or 4 weeks, and I would come back, and I would be not at a level where I could train again at the previous level. So how I've actually changed my outlook is a little bit of the first, which is accepting help, and a little bit of the second. So I've actually consciously said, I'm not going to train in a ramping fashion where I'm ramping up to a particular performance goal. I'm actually going to stop where I am and be happy with the performance level that I'm at, but just maintain it for a longer period of time, maintain it for on a year-round basis, instead of going 3 months and falling sick, and then going 3 months and falling sick, actually maintaining a 70% or a 65% regimen, but maintaining it year-round to meld that, or to bring that together with the previous thought. I actually put a message out on Facebook several months ago, at the end of October, when I could see, okay, it's coming to the winter season. And then the winter season, especially on days when it's below 20 degrees outside, it's difficult for me to get to the gym. I usually ride my bike to the gym or walk to the gym, and walking to the gym takes the gym that I go to takes an hour to walk to the gym. So I accepted help. I put it out there. I'd like to meet someone, or I'd like to have one of the people that I know, or one of the people that's connected and can see this post. And it so happens that someone who I knew in the Produce Club, who I was connected to, who I was friends with, has now become the person who goes with me to the gym. And I have a membership where I can get a guest free each time I go. It's a Planet Fitness membership. So she gets a workout at the gym. And she also is happy, because she basically says, oh, you get me started on the day. And it's such a good thing to start the day with. And it's we started on November 8th, and this is the end of our 8-week training together. And it's just something that I would have skipped out on. It would have not been something I could have got to all the days that we went because of the temperature. And I just knew from last year that I missed that, and it was something that I didn't want to miss. So I consciously planned and looked out for and asked for help and received it so that I could continue with this other facet of what I wanted to do, which was my 65% plan of maintaining a physical exercise regimen instead of not being able to maintain it by going too far, by going over the borderline of my overall performance envelope being long-term rather than being short-term, being something that I'm dedicated to doing and that I will do rather than something that I'm in for the short haul. And in general, that philosophy of being in it for the long term is it can be applied and is applied to these small changes in your life, but it's not a small change because what it is an overall philosophical change. So the small tasks that you do, but the small tasks that you do that you apply this your method to, those small things take on an energy which echoes your method. So my method is changing and becoming more conservative, but becoming longer, becoming what can I maintain for a long period of time? And instead of how can I quote unquote egoically show off to myself and do all these reps with all this big weight and gain all this muscle, but not be able to maintain it? And maybe that had a lure in the short term where I could write numbers down and sum them up on Excel spreadsheets and see a skyrocketing performance, but that wouldn't be maintainable. We're now a lesser, more steady state tortoise versus hare performance is more maintainable. So my eye maybe has come to be one of dedication and saying, okay, I know that getting the crops that I get out from the produce club to people is something that folks need to see. So I'm dedicated to making sure that happens every week, and I'll do what I need to do to fill in other things in my life, and I'll do the best things that I can, the other facets of my life, to grow my life as I would like to. But still, the ability to gather a group of people together who want to have better nutrition is a hugely powerful political statement. As I'm learning in even more depth by reading Weston A. Price, it is probably in the last two centuries one of the greatest two or three centuries, one of the greatest attacks on the mind, wars on the mind that has been perpetrated or that has been facilitated by the quote-unquote elite / royals, whoever they are and whatever they are ourselves. So it's one of our own voyages into ourselves and our own questioning of what experience we would like to have or that we need or that we will accept. And I don't know how long I'm trying, what I'm trying to create within myself is not a short-term, ill-conceived effort to change myself, and it's more of a solid, conservative, highly prioritized, I will maintain these things and I will grow myself and my ability to maintain the things that I maintain, but here is the core of what I want to do, and the core of what I want to do is create a group of people who are interested in these ideas of an emerging forest, an increase in fertility, an increase in fertility of experience of the mind. And what I'm doing is definitely not new. And I have a lot to learn, and I have a lot to learn about other movements that are doing exactly the same thing that I'm doing or that I'm thinking about doing. I know there are lots of people that are back to the land. I know there are lots of people that are permaculturists and so many other movements, so many other, Weston A. Price has a foundation. So it's me opening another door to understanding and seeing what's out there, but also those movements really aren't visible, and I guess you start out being invisible, and I'd like to have 50 people who, I think I might have 50 people, I'd like to have more people who participate in my produce club. And it will come, it's just a matter of slow growth and marketing. And another thing that I really need to grow and really need to be better at is marketing. And David Whitman is someone who will help me with that, as well as other people who are being at this point very generous in helping me. So I hope that my story isn't tedious. I hope my story isn't like, oh, Alan's talking about himself. I'm talking about myself because the general psychology of where I'm at and the general psychology of how I'm operating, I hope is illustrative of life and psyche and building and growing in general. And it is a game. It's not arcane. It's not something that you can't reach out and get your hands into and understand it in a gratuitously mathematical fashion. You can go out there and you can say, I want to train these muscles. I want to train my social muscles. You can do that in a brutally mechanical manner. I need to get better at this. And you do it, and it's mechanical. And if you're starting out, you basically have to go to a teacher who will show you how to do it mechanically. One of the things that I'm going to do in the very near future is go to an acting class and be put on camera and then be shown myself on camera and look at myself and say, okay, this is where I am, and have them say, this is how you should act. This is how you should deliver yourself. This is what comes across best on film. And to begin putting myself and my skills in that area and pulling myself apart and putting myself back together and refining my capability to do these tasks just like any other task. And thing that I wrote recently on Facebook was, you have places that you want to go, and how you should look at it is you should look at it with detachment, and you should say, okay, I can do these little achievement squares, and do those little achievement squares, and be who you want to be. Hi, caller. How are you? Oh. Okay. They dropped out. Sorry, 831 area code. Call back in if you just want to listen. I thought they wanted to talk. Pardon me. So... if you're starting out, you should just say, okay, there's no embarrassment to being a neophyte. There's no inadequacy to learning a new skill. It's a celebration. Learning a new skill is a celebration. What a great thing to accomplishment. The analogies escape me, so I'll give this one. When I was in high school, the band Kansas was very big. And one of the albums that came out in that time span was an album called Point of No Return. And I was very socially isolated. And I just looked at that title and said, oh, Point of No Return, and thought the song was very depressing. And recently, within the last couple of weeks, as I look at everything now, I looked at that album, and it's the Point of KNOW Return. And what is, it's sort of how long to the point where you know what you want to do, and that it is best for you, regardless of what other people say. How long until your priority is priority one, and everyone else's priority doesn't have anything to say about your priority anymore? To put it in an excruciatingly blunt fashion, how long until you lead yourself? How long until you think for yourself? And the cover is actually a ship on the edge of a flat world, falling off the edge. Allegory to you being the ship, and you being, and you needing to be on your edge in order to grow. Another analogy of that picture being the ambiguity of the shape of the world. Is it flat? Is it round? I'm not going to talk about that tonight. It's an interesting thing to think about. What is the physical evidence for any particular perspective of where we are looks like, or what the geometry of the where we are looks like, or is, or seems to be. Life can be seen to be a dance, but if you look at a part of your life, okay, here we are in the world. The world is dancing in an anti-fertility fashion. It knows how to do that. So, of course, when folks come along and say, we'd like to have a balanced overall populist situation where the other viewpoint is represented with the anti-fertility viewpoint in a balanced fashion. How is that adjustment in the socio-political dance going to look? Well, it's going to be like, everybody's going to be like, well, wait a minute, we have to learn how to dance completely differently, but we don't know how to do that. How is it even for a visionary of dancing like that to begin to think about changing the whole dance? You're going to fall on your face. I mean, it's going to be a mess. But it has to happen in order for you to get to the goal. So it's not going to be a smooth ride. It's going to be a how the heck do I do this ride? And I better learn a lot and be prepared to make a lot of mistakes and be prepared to make a lot of people unhappy. But follow what I want to do. Follow what you want to do as priority one. And be willing to accept that maybe other people don't see what you are aiming at, and maybe saying, well, I'm going to take on a secret identity for when I do those things in public. But if you need the public acclaim, you're going to have to do smoke and mirrors or something like that. So, follow your own wish to do something. Involve yourself with people who can teach you the skills that you need to learn, and so your whole enchilada and your goal is huge, but it's a goal. It's not an SOP, and you can change your SOP about day to day and have your philosophy be one of that one that's aligned with growing your fertility versus not growing your fertility. And since you want to grow your fertility in a larger scale, grow your fertility in a smaller scale. Choose a few things more today to put in your mouth that you know are better for you. Or know you align yourself with your goal more. Better or worse is meaningless to me. What aligns yourself with your goal? What gets you to your goal? And be mathematical. Write it down. Say, here's my alignment. Here's what I want to change. Here's what I'm going to do tomorrow. And step out into that new way of being. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for this year. Thank you, Terry and Robin, for this year. Thank you, Valerie, for helping me. Thank you, David. Thank you to everybody else that I've met in every place that I've been, and all of the people. Thank you to all of my guests from this year. And thank you to all the guests that are lined up for next year. Samantha Cook, whose show was canceled due to a dropout in programming. Samantha Cook, the poet, will be on next week. Laurie Cagno will be on in 2 weeks for her second show. And then Gina Renzi, who is a person who runs an arts part of the University of Pennsylvania. We'll find out more about what she does on the 21st. So thank you all for listening. Welcome in 2 hours to 2018. And Happy New Year.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.